The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Here at the Believe You Me podcast, we want you to have amazing sex. So that is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, which is called the Promescent Delay Spray. It has been used by over 1 million men, and it is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off, and sensitivity levels are taken down. So you don't have to worry about, you know, finishing too soon. There's no prescriptions, there's no mess, and there's no pesky subscriptions required. You just get better sex, guaranteed, with a 60-day money-back policy, okay? Harrington has used this a lot. It's easy to use. He lasted longer, and it gave him way more confidence. See what the buzz is about for yourself and grab a bottle along with all your sexual wellness products, from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. All you got to do is go to promescent.com, P-R-O-M-E-S-C-E-N-T, promescent.com. They have an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. And if you use the promo code BELIEVE, you're going to get 15% off your purchase and free shipping. One more time, go to promescent.com, use the promo code BELIEVE for 15% off your purchase and free shipping. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you to Harrington for coming at us from the darkest room available in the whole of New York by the looks of it. But welcome back to another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. I know last week there was no shows, but guess what? I was in England. There was no Wi-Fi. Well, there was Wi-Fi, then there wasn't Wi-Fi. It was a whole to-do. It was a pain in the ass, but we're back. I'm committed. Two shows a week coming your way, guaranteed, like fucking clockwork, every Monday and Thursday going forward, even though it's Christmas soon and we all deserve a little time off. But I deserved a little time off at Christmas with my family. Well, in England, with my family and whatnot, even though the reason for no show was the Wi-Fi. Harrington, how are we doing, buddy? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Had a great Thanksgiving break. The fact that we didn't have to try to cram this show in among, you know, trying to get like Christmas decorations done with the girlfriend's family and everything was really nice for me. You know, it was pretty peaceful. I'm sorry to all the believers out there who we let down, but I certainly had a great week or half a week off.
Well, good. Yeah, that's right. It was Thanksgiving in the US as well. So, in fact, that's why we went out there. Not because of Thanksgiving, but because Lucas and Ellie, they had the time off school. So that allowed us some time to go back, obviously, with the fucking pandemic going on. I hadn't seen family for a long time. I actually had a couple of DJ things to do, which was, you know, not at the top of my list of priorities in terms of goals in life. But it was like it gave me a reason to go back. You know what I mean? All right, let's go back there, you know, make some money from that. It'll help cover the flights, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, I had a really good time. So thank you to the guys, Johnny from Electric Soup and Cheese from Sopranos for having me DJ. That was nice. That was a nice little trip down memory lane. A lot of fun. Main thing for me that was fun. Oh, go on, sorry.
I just want to know what that was like, right? Like, so we've seen you like playing with the decks upstairs and like getting your mixes back on, but like actually playing to a crowd who showed up to like party on a Friday or Saturday night. And it's like, you know, how's this guy going to be, right? How is this going to be? And was the pressure on, and what was that like actually performing in front of a crowd?
Yeah, no, there's no pressure with stuff like that. It's like riding a bike. And they definitely showed up to party. That's for sure, man. My God, they were going crazy. Great crowds at both nights. So thank you to both of them. Main thing for me was being back home with my family, being back in England, eating and drinking a lot of shit, right? I'm telling you, I think I've put on a good 7 or 8 pounds simply because my diet consisted of, let me see, sausage rolls, steak pies. What else? Pork
the
pies.
Chip shop at 2 a.m.
Yeah, fish and chips, of course. There's that. Yeah, doner kebabs, pizza. Everything was beige or an iteration of the color beige. A lot of beer, a lot of wine. But I tell you what, a bloody good time. It was nice. It was nice being back in England. We stayed in this little village called Waddington. It's a lovely, lovely little place. I'll send you some pictures, Brian. Maybe you can blend them in later. You know, with like three or four little country pubs across the street. And literally all we had to do was stroll across the street in the most cozy, nice little pubs, roaring fires, freezing cold outside, sit there. The food was gourmet as well. Like, you know, good traditional English food, but done to a very, very high level. Roaring fire, couple of beers. Oh, it was nice, man. It was nice.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. You know, and it seemed like the kids were having a good time too. You know, you posted like a bunch of pictures of Lucas running around playing in the snow. Seemed like everybody was having a really, like, it was a fun, wholesome family vacation for the Bisbings. You know, as long as you can get away from the Bourbon Street bastard, you have good memories with the family.
Well, the Bourbon Street bitch ain't fucking making it to Clitheroe. No way. And if he did, my God, he'd go home in a cardboard box or a wooden box. Probably a cardboard box. But no, it was great. It was very, very nice. You know, Lucas was dying for it to snow because it was forecasted for snow. But of course, the weather forecast isn't always correct. But then lo and behold, on the second to the last day, the snow came down. So we went out there. I don't know when the last time you made a snowman was, Harrington. When was the last time you made a snowman?
I have to say probably 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard fucking work. Because I went out, I DJed on the Saturday night, and on the Sunday morning, I woke up and I was like, oh God, didn't feel the best. Let's be honest, right? I didn't get until very, very late, you know, but I got about 3-4 hours sleep. Lucas stayed at my sister's house. And my sister dropped Lucas off and he came in. It was all snowing. He's full of the joys. Wow, it's snowing, Dad. I'm like, I'm letting bed. Oh, God. I've got to be a good dad. So I got out of bed. I said, let me have a couple of coffees and we'll go out. And I was feeling like crap. I might have been a little hungover, very, very tired. But you get out in the sun, in the snow, you know, because the sun came out, obviously. You know, it's and you start making the snowman and whatnot. It's invigorating. But I said, listen, okay, if we're going to make a snowman, we're going to make a proper snowman, you know. But once that boulder of snow gets to a certain size and to push it is hard work. It was like a workout. And I was even thinking if I was training fighters and I lived in Moscow, I'd be like, never mind Rocky shooting, running around chasing chickens. I'm like, yes, you go out there, you make bigger snowman, you crazy bastard. You make big snowman, 6 feet tall. Because I'm telling you, that big ball of fucking snow or ice, it gets fucking hard. And of course, I take it very seriously. I'm like, no, Lucas, you're going to break it. It becomes my little project. Lucas is dying to get involved. I'm like, no, we're going to do the best snowman fucking ever. Don't you touch. But no, it was great.
Maybe that's where all these Dagestani fighters are coming from. They're just building snowmen in the foothills of Russia. And before you know it, boom, they're yeah, world-class grapplers.
Yeah. Making snowmen, grappling bears, all that type of stuff. But
I just processed this while you were talking about it, because Lucas is living in California now. So like when you were saying he was so excited for the snow, I was like, what? It's going to be snowing where he is. It's going to be winter where he is in like a month or two. What's the rush? Is that the first time he's seen snow in like a decade?
No, it's not the first time he's seen snow, and he's only a decade old as well. Okay. So you know, I don't know what's going on with your math there, but you just didn't know how old he was. He's 11. He's 11. But well, no, we went skiing. We've been to Mammoth. He has seen it. But even still, when you're 11 years old or his age, you're still excited for snow. He hasn't seen it in. I think we went to Mammoth. It was what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. You know, so he just wanted to play in the snow. Anyway, so a great trip all around. Great to see everybody. Great to be back in the old neighborhood. Catch up with some old friends. Great to see my mom and dad, of course. Not great was leaving. Not great was leaving. You want to know why?
I'm going to guess. It's time for another installment of Michael Bisping's Problems at the Airport.
Oh, no. Leaving the Airbnb. Oh, my God. Right? I'm not throwing Lucas under a bus here, but he seems to have this obsession with locking goddamn doors. And I've told him in the house, I've told him before, like, you're a kid. You're not allowed to lock doors, okay? Like, sometimes when I go, like, you know, he's in his bedroom and he's locked the door. I'm like, dude, when you lock the door, it's like you're doing something suspicious. You know, I don't know what you could be doing that's suspicious, but just, it's my house, unlock the bloody door. Anyway, we get up, it's Monday, we're going to leave to the airport. The plan was we need to be out of the house by 10 o'clock. We're up. Everything's going smooth. We've done the preliminary pack on the Sunday, right? So everything's done. It's just get up in the morning, have a couple of coffees, have like 30 minutes chill time downstairs, having a brew, have a coffee, whatever, and then say, right, okay, throw the clothes you had on yesterday or whatnot, get a shower, put the clothes on to travel home, and out the door, right? Nice and easy. What could go wrong? So we all have a shower. Everything's going great. I'm like, this is sweet, perfect. I love it when a plan comes together type thing. And then Lucas, for some reason, the tiny little room that he had, there is a lock on it. And he's locked it. And he's locked it, okay? And it won't fucking unlock. It is jammed. The lock is 100% jammed, right? And I'm like, I'm like, Lucas, and he's starting to get claustrophobia and he's starting to get like a little freaked out because the room's tiny. And I'm starting to lose my shit as well. I'm like, Lucas, I told you not to bloody lock this door. And then I'm like, okay, calm down. I'm like, right, Lucas, think. Right, and I'm talking it through it. There must be I haven't seen the lock. I don't know what the lock looks like. It's an Airbnb. I haven't been in that room. I haven't inspected the locking facilities that the Airbnb give, okay? Our bedroom also doesn't have a lock, so why the fuck they would put a lock on the spare room is beyond me. Great people at the Airbnb, though. Thank you very much for letting us stay there. So we're trying to do this, and the clock is ticking, and we're going to miss our fucking flight home, right? And I'm like, right, Lucas, what's in the room? Right, because we couldn't unlock it. Up, down, left, right, twist, everything. He couldn't unlock it. And it's getting to the point now where I've got to break down the door. But then I'm like, no, I don't want to break down the door because then the Airbnb is a lovely house. They've let us stay in their home, you know. But it's been snowing heavily. So I go outside and I look. And there is a way. If he opens the window, he could climb out the window, scale down the roof. There was like a roof of the kitchen scale down there. And anyway, so I go, right, here's the plan. I says, Lucas, open the window, right? And he's not dressed. He's not dressed, right? I said, I don't want to destroy the door. So you're going to have to open the window. Anything that's in the room, throw out the window to us, okay? Because we need that stuff, okay? Because at least now we can say to the Airbnb people, listen, there's a window open. We're very sorry, but the door jammed. We managed to get all our stuff out, but we're very sorry. So he throws out a pair of fucking tracksuit bottoms. That's it. I said, is that everything in the room? Yes, it is. Of course, he's panicking. He's a kid. And then it's quite high up. Anyway, and he gets out. He's in his underpants, right? And he's like, and he's all scared. I'm like, son, you're going to have to man up at this point now. Okay, just, and there's like this much snow on top of the slate roof that he's got to get on, which is kind of sharp angles at either side. You know what I mean?
Dude, and this is terrifying.
Cool. Yeah, I know. He was terrified as well. Bless him. And we haven't got ladders, by the way. I've got like the kitchen chair that I'm standing on it, and I'm up high, and that's wobbling everywhere. And he scales to the end of the kitchen roof, and I'm like, all right, drop down. I'll catch him. Rebecca's like, you won't be able to catch him. Anyway, long story short, he jumps down. I catch him. Yes. I got a little scratch on my ankle, on my hand there.
Ooh.
But whatever. There we go. And I'm like, come here. I give him a big hug because he was a little, you know, he was a little scared coming out there in his underpants in the snow. I felt like saying it would have been better to put the tracksuit pants that you just threw out. Why didn't you put those on? But, you know, high pressure situation. The clock is ticking. We're going to get to the airport. He wasn't thinking. Then he left Ellie's bag in there that had the passport and everything. So regardless, I had to break down the door anyway. I had to break down the goddamn fucking door anyway. So still, there we go. But bless him. Yeah, that was England. Good to be back.
Did you hear from the people yet?
No, we did. I called them straight away. I had to call them, explain. I couldn't just leave an Airbnb for them to walk in and half the fucking door frames down and the doors off and the windows open. You know what
this
I mean?
This is the last time we let a former UFC champion stay at our Airbnb. Yeah, last time ever.
No, the lady who owned the house could not have been any nicer. I called her up from the airport. I said, listen, I've got something to report. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. She was very understanding. I've offered to pay for it. All good. Anyway, so there we go. I'm back. 2 shows a week going forward. Thank you very much for your patience. As always, lots going on in the world of mixed martial arts, and I'm here to break it down. And Harrington is here to tee me up. So, Harrington, do your best. I know I said there was an interesting conversation at point number one, but we'll get to that later. What is the juiciest in terms of mixed martial arts or combat sports action to go at right now, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's a fight that's a little bit down the road, but certainly a fight that I think everyone's excited for. Islam Makhachev you know, again, has a chance to move up the ladder, fight a guy above him in Beneil Dariush. That fight is set for February 26th, Saturday, main event for a UFC fight night.
I do believe I'm commentating that fight as well, which is nice. So, yeah, that is good. Hold on one second. Oh, he's Brantendo's on his way. God damn. I was going to say, come later. I'm very tired, but he's on his way. Anyway, Dariush, Makhachev, there was a lot of back and forth, wasn't there, with who was it? Was it
Gaethje
and all those guys? They were saying, you know, and Gaethje said, just do your job, fight Beneil Dariush. Yeah, fair play. There he is. He's taking on Beneil. Logical matchup, makes all the sense in the world. Not an easy fight for either man. You know, Makhachev is coming into this. He's obviously on a 9-fight win streak. Seems to get better with every performance. Took Dan Hooker out there in quick fashion. Great matchup for him, though, with no disrespect to Dan Hooker, but stylistically, that was a good matchup for him. A tall kickboxer. He's a very good grappler, wrestler with decent striking. You know, the takedown was always there for him. But this is a different kettle of fish, you know, because Beneil Dariush is extremely well-rounded, really good jiu-jitsu, and I forget who it was. Oh, this guy, Antonio, I forget his last name. He's a world jiu-jitsu champion from Portugal. And he was in the movie Never Back Down, Revolt, just came out recently. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And he was telling me, he came out for the premiere, which I went to a couple of weeks, last week, just before I went to England. And he said, whilst he was here, he rolled with Beneil Dariush. And he could not believe how good his ground game was. And we all know Beneil's got a good ground game. So, no, it's a really, really good fight.
And it's interesting. He actually came out and said it. He's like, you know, I'm a grappler. Right. Like, I understand everybody saying that this guy is like the second coming of GSP or Khabib, but I am a grappler. I can't not go in there with the game plan to grapple this guy. So certainly it seems like Dariush is not afraid of the challenge. It's not like he's intimidated at all or saying, like, you know, he's looking for that one shot knockout. He's ready to fight Islam's fight against Islam. Dariush, meanwhile, on a 7-fight win streak himself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what, let's remember. Dariush trains at Kings MMA, really good striker as well. He's not only a grappler, so it's not going to be grappler versus grappler. Makhachev is getting better with the striking as well. But I think I will give a striking advantage to Beneil Dariush. Great fight. Next, the winner, well, if Makhachev. Hamzat's on everyone's fucking brain. That's why I'm saying it. If Makhachev wins that fight, he's fighting for the belt next. Interesting times. So, and in fact, when it comes to the lightweight division, which does seem to have everyone's attention right now, Conor McGregor's making some headlines as well, right, Harrington?
Right. Let me see here. Conor McGregor came out with this like towards the end of last week. He said, just want to make it clear. Hi there, lads. Here goes clicks and the like. Your boss and what's not. The Mac, Santa Claus. I'm facing whoever the fuck lightweight title next. Deal with it. Take off your goggles and mark the trilogy unfinished. Deal with that too. The rest mentioned after this, deal with it.
Deal with it. Deal with it. There's that song, who's it by? Who's it by? Deal with it. Whatever I was going to sing there, but I will not do
deal,
that.
Deal with it.
Yeah, have you heard that song? Who's it by?
No, I was just making it up.
Yeah, no. Hold on. Let's get it up. Walking back through my own estate, I see my mates, but they don't want to stay safe. They say I've changed. Deal with it. Hold on. I'm sorry. It's who is it? Hold on. It is Slow Tie. Moura, Massey, and Slow Tie. Good song. Anyway, off on a tangent there. Yeah, McGregor, title fight next. I don't know. Maybe he could. Listen, it wouldn't be the craziest thing to ever happen. You know, let's be honest. The man's a fucking megastar. So maybe, but I doubt it. I doubt it very much. Obviously, I'm assuming that was just a tweet. You know what I mean? So you can't look at that like it's gospel. It's not like Dana White said it at a press conference. And obviously, that's what Conor wants. Who fucking knows? I don't know. Conor says a lot of outlandish stuff. But as I say, with him being the big star that he is, it's not going to happen. But if it does happen, it wouldn't blow my mind either, but it's not. I mean, the guy's lost 3 out of his last 4, I believe, right? There's no way he's coming back with the title fight, but hey, wishful thinking.
If it's Poirier, right? I agree if Oliveira wins this fight, certainly, right? But if it's Poirier, right? We saw
which
him
I think
pass
it will
up-
be, which I think it will be.
Okay, so we saw him pass up a title fight once. He could have fought Oliveira instead of Michael Chandler. He chose to take the Conor McGregor trilogy fight. Is there a world in which Islam Makhachev or Beneil Dariush is sitting there, and Conor McGregor says, I'm ready to go by May, right? Like,
Well, think about it like this, right? If nothing else, in terms of, you know, just the numbers alone, forget about skill sets and all the rest of it, there is a 50-50 chance that by the end of the year, Dustin Poirier is the champion of the world, right? Okay. Right. When you break that down, and if you're an odds maker and all the rest of it, obviously that changes. But just on the fact that there's two men in that race, there's a 50-50 chance right now that Dustin Poirier will be the champion. That is the fight that people probably want to see. That is the fight right now that Conor McGregor wants more than anything. And there is probably an insatiable appetite from the buying public to see a fourth fight simply because of the way that it ended. Now, the fight ended because Poirier was beating him up pretty good, but still, the fact he snapped his leg is like kind of, you know, with respect, kind of like a saving grace. See, look. I don't think the outcome was going to be any different, but he can say he was injured. So if Poirier wins, it doesn't seem that fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Because you could still argue, not me, one could still argue that they're still one apiece because the third fight, the third fight doesn't really count because he snapped his leg. Do you see what I'm saying? That would be the angle. That's the McGregor
math system.
Yes. it's the McGregor math system from fucking Crumlin, Dublin. So it is. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, I could see that. There is also like the
McGregor math system. I like that. That's a good one.
It's pretty fun. I mean, you know, if it is Oliveira, you know, I don't see that fight for McGregor at all, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like Oliveira, right, is so laser focused on legacy and like doing the right thing that Oliveira is taking the winner of Dariush versus Makhachev over Conor McGregor, who's been out for a year. With Poirier, it feels like it's more personal there. So I could see the path to that.
No, I don't know. I think for Oliveira, he's just so happy that he's champion right now and he's taking the biggest fights possible. You know, and rightly so. There's a guy that was a contender for the longest time. There's a guy that was respected, a guy that had ups and downs, wins and losses. Most of his losses were stoppages as well. It's not like the guy was never finished, you know. And now here he is as lightweight champion of the world in the most star-studded division that people say is the toughest. And Charles Oliveira, after that rollercoaster ride, is sat at the fucking top of it. The fight with Poirier, I would expect to do really decent numbers. And if he comes out victorious, then God bless him. If he comes out victorious, I'm just so happy for Charles Oliveira. You know, he's never in any scandal. He's always exciting. He's a fucking great fighter to watch. He comes from the slums of the favelas in Brazil, you know, and now to be champion of the world. It's beautiful, man. I love to see that kind of thing.
I love it, too. One person who McGregor has been pretty complimentary of the last couple of days has been Michael Chandler. You know, he's just been, you know, talking about how this guy is, you know, inches away from winning a title. You know, if things had broken this guy's way, he'd have that strap around his waist. People aren't giving this guy enough credit. I mean, McGregor doesn't seem to put guys, especially in his own weight class, over unless he's trying to build something with them. Do you think there's fire to the smoke of McGregor shooting for a return against Michael Chandler?
Do I think there's fire to the smoke of McGregor shooting for a July return against Michael Chandler? Jesus Christ, that's a fucking weird way of saying, do you think McGregor wants to fight Chandler next? That is, you got to work on your sentence construction, my brother. Do you think there's fire to the smoke? Stop trying to speak like some fucking...
Do you think there's fire to the smoke?
18th century wordsmith. Do you
I stand think by that.
That there's fire to the smoke of McGregor wanting to face Chandler upon his return? In July. Who says it's July, by the way?
To be fair, you misheard me. I never said July.
All right, well, whatever. I just threw July in there because it finishes the sentence better, my man. Who fucking knows? Who cares? I don't know. Listen, we can't sit here and break down the McGregor math system of what's going on in his fucking head every time he decides to tweet, right? Every time I tweet, I look back at it. I don't know what I was thinking at that time. I'm like, whatever. If thought pops in, it pops out again. Poppity pop pop. Popping off. All right, everybody that likes to work on a car, if you're a do-it-yourself type of guy, you like to work on your own car, you like to get under the hood, under the bonnet, you want to get down and dirty with that engine, then I'm here to tell you about rockauto.com because that is the online store with every auto part that you need at the best prices. This is the one-stop shop for everything auto parts. RockAuto.com has been in business for over 20 years, and they make it easy for you to find the parts that you need at the best possible prices. So no more talking to counter guys. You need to order your parts. They aren't really sure what you need. They maybe order stuff you don't need. They never have quite what you're looking for. And then after all that hassle, they still charge you the storefront markup. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything that you want. And whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just working on your own car, everybody has the same access to the incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So as I said, if you like to tinker with your engine, if you like to open the hood and see what's going on, or if you're in England and you want to get under the bonnet and have a look at what's happening. If you're a car guy right now or a car girl, of course, in 2021, go to rockauto.com. Check out all the parts available for your car, and you're going to have a lot of fun looking at all, because guess what? The best possible prices. Once more, rockauto.com. No promo code needed, as their pricing is already fantastic. But when you order, make sure to tell rockauto.com that we told you about them here at the Believe in Me podcast, rockauto.com. Let's get back into it. What's John Jones up to?
John Jones up to a couple of things. First and foremost, he's announced his return to combat sports. Super nice. Hyped for it. He's going to be fighting. No. It's a grappling match against Bellator heavyweight and current AEW pro wrestler Jake Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger in the WWE.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've got limited excitement when it comes to this, to be honest, because I did see headlines and I did see you start off the email, the notes. John Jones has announced his return to combat sports in a grappling match against Jake Hager. I'm like, I don't know who that guy is. Should I know that? I mean, listen, I'm sorry. I have a life. I don't watch pro wrestling. So what was his name? Jake who in wrestling?
Jake Hager. He's Jack Swagger in the WWE. He goes under the name Jake Hager now as in AEW, which is WWE's competitor. This right here, this is Jake Hager. Now he is.
I mean, he's a handsome guy, bit of a what's he called? Bit of a Chris Hemsworth looking dude. I mean, a bit of a Thor looking individual.
Yeah, he definitely could be the lost Hemsworth brother. I believe it. You know, there's already four of them. I believe there's five. So his credentials, he's an Oklahoma.
The knowledge of the Hemsworth brothers is alarming. What are their names, Harrington?
I know there's.
On. We've got Chris and Liam. That's it. That's all I know. Well, who are the other two? And what are the star signs? And what do they like to do on a Sunday afternoon?
Well, they're Tauruses. They like long walks on the beach.
Yes.
So this Jake Hager guy, he was an All-American wrestler at Oklahoma. He finished seventh nationally at heavyweight. He's a current Bellator fighter, 3-0, and he's a natural heavyweight. So
okay. All right. So this is all well and good. And I like this info. And I like what you know about him. But still, the fact remains, why the fuck is John Jones going up against this guy? You know what I mean? Oh, he's great. He's a wrestler. No one's fucking heard of him. Maybe they have. No offense to Mr. Jake Hager or Jack Swagger. And I know that John is just probably trying to stay active of some kind of description, right? But he needs to be fighting in the UFC. That's what we want to see. You know what I mean? He was the most dominant light heavyweight fighter on the roster. Maybe the most dominant heavyweight fighter we've ever seen. You know, most dominant fighter ever. I mean, he went on such a terrifying display and of dominance. Okay, there's the whole fucking picograms and the steroids and all the rest of it. Forget about that. We spoke about that a million times. But still, you know, he moved up to heavyweight, said he was going to do that. He was going to be the champ, and he's not fighting. Now, we know Cyril Garn and Francis Ngannou, they're fighting soon in Anaheim. But still, listen, this is great for him. But it's as a fan and as a somebody that wants to see John Jones back in the octagon, I see this and I just kind of scratch my head a little bit.
So, he also just put out a video, right? And this is maybe John Jones just humbling himself a little bit, but he put out a video of him wrestling with Olympic bronze medalist, Jadon Cox, somebody who...
Jadon Cox. Love that guy. Big fan.
You know what I mean, though, right? So, like, John Jones has left. He's left Jackson Wink after the fallout from, you know, the domestic abuse.
Well. Left Jackson Wink. I mean, that's, again, you know, thrown out of Jackson Wink might be another way of putting it.
Either way, he's not there anymore, right? He set up shop at the OG Jackson Wink, which is like, you know, a building that is run by like some of the people who broke off from the original. So like he's setting up himself a new camp. He just made an announcement that he's now 60 days totally sober, which, you know, God bless him. He realizes just how much his career, his livelihood, and everything about his life could have been over after that domestic violence incident in Las Vegas. A rush to the cage right now versus getting your feet wet in these grappling matches where the stakes are so minimal. Why not?
Well, no, you're right. Listen, I always like to see people trying to test themselves and sharpen up their skills and all the rest of it. And of course, he's going up to heavyweight for the first time. And maybe you could argue that this is testing the waters, feeling the strength, going up against very good grapplers and improving in that area as well. You know, but I said this before, when, for example, DC steps up to heavyweight, the thing that was so exciting about that is that he said, okay, I'm the light heavyweight champ. Now I'm going to take on the heavyweight champ and see if I've got what it takes. Because light heavyweights, for the most part, if they don't cut weight, they're generally a decent size heavyweight. You know, DC instantly was fucking 250 pounds. You know, all you got to do is step off the diet. Okay, fair enough. John doesn't want to walk in the octagon looking like DC. DC, as we know, is he really embraced being a heavyweight. You know, he's a big old boy. We say that with respect. No, you know, you could argue that he's a little chunky. Well, it's not an argument, is it? It's a fucking fact. But still.
He'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah, no, he will. But him just going from being the light heavyweight champ and trying to be the heavyweight champ, that was what made it so exciting. Taking a year, 6 months, 2 years, whatever it ends up being, you know, to rebuild yourself, it kind of takes away from that excitement a little bit, because there's no doubt John Jones is a great fighter. Why do I keep hearing Bird's tweet?
I don't know. Is that on your end? It's not on my end.
No, okay, I can hear Birds tweeting, right, big time. But you know, like in a cartoon when someone's dazed and there's birds, like in Looney Tunes. You know what I mean? That's what it sounds like. But it is outside, because I actually thought, am I losing my fucking mind? You know, it's outside. It's outside. So I don't know actually. I think it's outside, or maybe it's in my own fucking head. But I'm hearing birds.
I don't hear it, Mike.
Anyway, where were we? John Jones, just fucking get in the octagon and fight would be my advice.
Okay, well, here's the thing, right? DC was a natural heavyweight in Strikeforce, right? Didn't want to fight Cain Velasquez for the title when he came over, so he dropped down to light heavyweight, made the choice. Of course, it was a lot easier for him to just take the diet off and jump back up, because he'd always had the heavyweight frame. John Jones has always been like the chicken leg, you know, skinnier dude for the weight class, still making 205 with that gigantic frame. For him to take that time and really put, you know, the pedal to the metal of putting on 40, 50 pounds of muscle, like that's an undertaking I don't think we've ever seen, you know, in MMA, and not in combat sports since maybe, what, Evander Holyfield, when he went up from cruiserweight to heavyweight?
Yeah, it certainly sounds like the tweeting is coming through my headphones. I'll tell you that right now. Because I'm like, how could it be outside when I'm hearing it so crystal clear in the headphones? Maybe there's a program operating on the computer that, you know, is simulating birds tweeting, or I'm just fucking losing my shit right now. I'm hearing some tweeting going on. Anyway, it's the computer. There must be a program operating. Yeah, listen, you know, I get what you're saying, that they are all valid points, Harrington. They are, you know, but it's a little frustrating as a fan. I like John, and his current problem that he had, the way he behaved and all the rest of it, you know, it's nice to see that he's handling things, you know, he's getting his personal life in order and he's eradicating alcohol from himself. Listen, some people, you know, people talk about me and drinking a lot. I seem to be associated with that. I'm not a big time drinker, but I do love a few beers here and there. I have a few glasses of wine, but generally I'm, you know, it agrees with me. Some people it doesn't agree with. Some people get angry. Some people get violent. Some people act in a way that is really, really regrettable, you know, and maybe John's one of those. So good for him on his personal journey. I wish him the best. I really do. As a fight fan, you know, someone that's dedicated my entire life to the UFC, I want to see him back in there. And he's in his prime right now. Okay, and he's rebuilding, you might say. He's rebuilding. He's trying to do it properly. And a lot of coaches, strength and conditioning guys, new dietitians, nutritionists, they would also all say this is the correct way to do it. But it just takes away from that the pound for pound thing when you say, well, no, listen, I'll fight fucking anyone. I'm already a big guy. I mean, when was it at the Hall of Fame thing? Back then he was saying he was what, 250, 260, something like that. I forget what it was. The rebuilding process is done. Now it's time to step in the octagon. Now I know there's other factors, you know, like agreeing on purses and all the rest of it. That's probably a larger part of why we're not seeing him. And you know, all this stuff with, you know, the grappling and whatnot, I guess he's just trying to stay active in the best way he can. So I commend him for that. I do.
Well, I just looked at his Wikipedia and this actually blew me away. This is going to be the first time since 2008 that we go an entire calendar year without seeing John Jones step into a UFC octagon.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. And how, if you're looking at his Wikipedia right now, how old is he?
He is 30. I think he's a year older than me, so he's 34. 33 or 34.
Okay, so, I mean, he's still a young man. You know, he really is. And what he's done in the sport is unbelievable. It really is. So far be it for me to sit here and criticize. You know, I mean, the man is, he's gone through generation after generation of the greatest fighters on the planet. I mean, it's incredible what he did. You know, so I'm not criticizing. I just want to see him back in there. And as you say, it could be the first time in a calendar year that we haven't seen him. It's time to go.
But dude, that I feel like affects your legacy more than anything. You know what I mean? Like just being out of the public eye, not being seen by this like new crop of fans that like, let's say the Khamzats or the Islam Makhachevs of the world might have brought into the sport. If you're going to put yourself on display as like, I am the pound for pound number one attraction in this company and the one guy you cannot miss fight, you can't take a year off and still claim that relevancy. You just can't.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's interesting because EA Sports in the new UFC game that just got released, they've brought in a Legends or an Icons division, and they put me in there. So I've done a bit of work for them recently in terms of social media and whatnot. And very honored and privileged to be included in the Icons / Legends. I forget which term they used. Also, on the flip side, it means I'm fucking old as shit. So I'm like, okay, well, a bit of a backhanded compliment. But the point that I'm getting to is that they had a roundtable discussion, I wasn't a part of it, of who the GOATs were. And John Jones wasn't a part of that discussion. It was Khabib, Anderson, George St. Pierre. I think they were the three that they were arguing over. And John wasn't in there. And I still stand by it. I still think John should be included in those. But Khabib, if we're getting into this whole conversation, Khabib, I said at that time that Khabib, listen, of course you can't argue with what he achieved inside the octagon, but I do truly feel that retiring when he did, you know, kind of takes away from his accomplishments. And I don't mean that in a negative. What I mean is he retired because we all know the reasons with his father and all the rest of it. And God bless him. And it was beautiful to see a man retire on top because don't get to see that very often. But those other guys, they went through, you know, a lot of fights, just like Jones did. So many people, challenger after challenger after challenger, where I believe Khabib, you know, it was the last three were the biggest fights on his resume, kind of by far.
Right. So, I mean, it's the Conor defense, the Poirier defense, and the Gaethje defense, right?
Yes,
like those
yes.
are the three title fights that he actually had. I mean, GSP does that in inside a calendar year sometimes, you know what I mean? So,
sure. And then to bring it back to the original point was John Jones as well. And I was just saying for him being further, the more time he spends away from the octagon, the more time he's going to be further away from conversations like that. You know what I'm saying? That's why it came in my mind. I'm like, oh shit, we were talking about this last week and John Jones, you know, kind of rightly deserves to be in there. But there is things like the steroids, for want of a better word, the picograms and all the rest of it, the domestic violence, which is another thing, you know, I'm whispering even when I say it because I don't want John to hear it, but I'm sure if he's got this podcast turned on, he'll still fucking hear it. So anyway, there you go. Because John Jones at 260 pounds is a fucking nightmare for anybody to be confronted with. You know what I mean? And I want the next time I bump into John Jones to be as pleasurable as the last time I saw him in Vegas, which was very nice. And it was all nice and hugs and pictures and all the rest of it and high fives. All right, here's the deal. It's coming up to Christmas. You have a significant other or you want to find the significant other. When you want to find them, you want to give them the Christmas present that they deserve. You want to give them the sexual performance of your lifetime. But maybe you haven't got what it takes. Okay. Maybe you're just lacking down there. Maybe you're not. You know, maybe you've got erectile dysfunction. Maybe you just want to experiment and have a great time. Or maybe your name is Mike Harrington and you're severely letting down your significant other in the bedroom. But have no fear because here is BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. I mean, come on, Harrington. This is good for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're a guy like me who maybe doesn't even have any kind of sexual problems going on, but just likes chewing things that are blue, this is for you, right? It's an online pharmacy. They take all of the guesswork and hassle out of getting your tadalafil or sildenafil or however you pronounce those things. The active ingredients in those two number one ED pills that you see on the market, you just take all that guesswork out. You take all the hassle out. You take all the going to a doctor out. You just go online, bluechew.com. You talk to one of their affiliated physicians. Boom, 1, 2, 3. They got you signed up. You're good to go. And it's sent to you in discreet packaging, so your neighbors don't know what's going on.
Yeah, look, listen, at the end of the day, if you want to get better at sex, if you want to have a better performance, bluechew.com is what you need, okay? No talking to a doctor, no awkwardness, no neighbor knowing, because the packaging will not be showing. But after you're done with your partner, she'll definitely be glowing, and you're the only one in the fucking knowing. You know what I'm saying? Nobody needs to know. Bluechew.com, very discreet service. And guess what? We're going to give it to you for free. All you got to do is go to bluechew.com, pay $5 in shipping. It's going to turn up at your door. No one's going to know anything, okay? And you're going to have a great time. No waiting in line at pharmacy. As I say, it's in the discreet packaging. Everyone's happy. You look like a rock star. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your whatever it is like, oh my God, I love this guy. I cannot get enough. Please, when is the next time we can hook up? Listen, for that kind of a deal, you got to use the promo code BELIEVE. You're going to get your first month for free when you go to bluechew.com. You're going to use the promo code BELIEVE. And you're going to get your first month for free. As I said, you're going to pay the shipping, of course. $5, easy. Bluechew.com. All right, where were we? Anyway, what else should we get into? Hamzat Chimaev went up against Jack Hermanson just recently. It's probably kind of old now, but that just shows to me that Hamzat Chimaev is not a flash in the pan. He is not a show pony. He is not just built of hype. You know, I mean, come on. He went out there and kind of dominated Jack Hermanson. I never saw it, but I did see highlights. It was a decision though, right?
Yeah. So I don't know how you score a grappling. Is it just like you need to pin your opponent? It depends
on the style. It depends on the rule set. It depends. Sometimes it's submission only. So unless I've sat down and you know, really studied it, it's hard to say. And I haven't studied it.
I'll be honest with you. I watched the whole thing. I couldn't figure out heads nor tails of who was winning, who was losing. But the commentators were going crazy for how well Hamzat was doing. So,
oh, really?
It looked like they were at a 50-50 position almost the whole time to me. But according to these commentators, Hamzat was destroying Jack Hermanson. So
okay.
What I found super interesting, though, was, Brian, if you could just pull this up real quick. They have very little to no security at these like Eastern European grappling matches, to the point where fans are able to get into the cage to celebrate with the people as they're getting their hands raised. And you'll see Chimaev is the coolest fucking customer on the planet. This dude runs into the cage, never met the guy before. He's celebrating, lifting his hand up. And Hamzat's like, all right, yeah, this is normal. Like, I feel totally safe right now around this stranger.
So I haven't seen this. So yeah, Brian, if you can pull that up and let's take a look, and I'll give my take. But you know, if it's a little grappling event, they're not going to have the best security. Hold on, there they are.
Yeah.
Hamzat is a fucking beast, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, go to the end. Oh, 10 seconds left. There he is. He's just trying to do an oil check. Now he's got the foot.
No.
I forget the name of that wrestling position. He's cross-facing here. Hamzat is on top. Jack Hermanson is going for a single leg. He's trying to force up. He's got the head on the outside of the single. He's trying to hit the switch. There's 0 seconds left. It's the end of the fight. It ended with Hamzat on
big
top.
Big butt slap.
Nice butt slap. Why not?
Big butt slap from Hamzat there.
Hold on. Where's this guy? Where's this guy that you speak of?
So they do the double hand raise. No.
Okay, that's because there was no submission, I'm assuming. Like when I grappled Chael Sonnen, there was no submission there, so it's a draw.
Well, no, so it's just saying both guys made it to the end. Now they're announcing the decision winner.
Okay, there it is. Made a fool out of me there. Yes, brother, great grappling match. You know, you're very good, you guy. You're very good. Oh, look at this guy.
Now this guy just shows up and hugs him, slaps him on the chest. He's super excited for
brother,
him.
Brother, please. I tried to do my interview. Get the fuck out of here. I like you. I like this. This guy's okay. But now I talk to everybody on microphone. Yeah, well, fuck it. So there's nothing there. I was expecting more than that, Harrington. You oversold that, okay? You clickbaited me in the fucking notes on my own podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you saw a fan run into the cage and celebrate with Conor McGregor slapping on the chest and raising his hand and doing the McGregor strut as Conor McGregor was lifting up two belts, we would still be talking about that to this day. How did this man get into the cage? Yeah. It's very unsafe.
Well, it was. There's not a lot to talk about there. And we're moving on. Okay, executive decision. Moving on. Sean Strickland, Paddy Pimblett. Two good topics there that I want to discuss. Sean Strickland, as we know, friend of the show, shout out Sean, everyone's favorite psychopath. I put that on Twitter once or something like that, and people went, he's not my favorite psychopath. I don't like him. So, well, calling him a psychopath. If you don't like him, focus on the psychopath element of what I'm saying.
Yeah. And who is your favorite psychopath? Yeah, Ted Bundy? Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
Michael Myers. He doesn't exist. He's not a real one. Let me see. Sean Strickland took to Twitter because he's blocked on Instagram to let us know that he's saw the last episode and he's not interested in a Darren Till fight. Instagram blocked me. I joked about a pedophile dying. And I guess he didn't like that. Anyway, I'm not fighting Darren Till. I want Costa. And if Costa can't put down the wine and cookies, I want Jack. Interesting. I mean, I would have thought Sean would have jumped at the chance of that matchup because Darren is a big star. He's got a big name. Sean is chipping away. He's raising his profile all the time, even though he's getting blocked on fucking Instagram. So he joked about a pedophile dying. All right, I never knew that. If he joked about a pedophile dying, I mean, I'm not overly concerned with it. If he was making pedophile jokes, the context of that isn't good. Sorry, Bri.
Sorry. I would imagine that he was making a joke about the dude that got shot in Kenosha that got convicted of banging little boys.
I see. Yeah. I get it. I get the context. Okay. All right. So, whatever. Pedophiles in general, let's just stay away from in every shape or form, I guess. There's a good bit of advice. Mikey B's fucking advice to live by. Stay away from pedophiles in real life or on social media. I mean, listen, I was pick them all up and send them to a fucking island all by themselves. Or just do what... we're going to move on. I'm going to get thrown off YouTube myself. Let me see. Instagram blocked me. Doesn't want to fight Darren Till. Wants to fight Paulo Costa. I would have thought that was a fight. Stop putting your finger up to interrupt. Give him a little take. I would have thought he jumped at that. That would have been a massive fight for Sean Strickland. Tough fight for both guys. I feel that it would have been a good one for the fans, for everyone there. Both guys like to trade it out on the feet. I'm surprised that Sean never took that fight. Or, I don't even know if there was a fight offered. I'm surprised he didn't jump on that opportunity to try and, help that gain some momentum.
Well, for Sean Strickland, it seems like a pretty, making that statement seems like a very simple directive for him, right? Darren Till is currently ranked number 8. Sean Strickland is ranked number 7. Jack Hermanson, number 6. Paulo Costa, number 5. I think the case he's making there is I'm not going backwards in the rankings for anybody. Doesn't matter. Only looking ahead.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It makes sense when you put it like that. And thanks for pointing that out. But it does make sense. But still, when you get to that level, I mean, of course, Darren Till's a big star. And I think even though he's lost some of his last few, and I respect Sean for that, actually, by the way, he's like, no, I want tougher fights. I want higher ranking fights. I want guys that are on winning streaks. So I get it from that mentality, but it wouldn't have been a good fight. I would have been excited to call that one in London. That would have been fantastic. And the hype, the buildup would have been fucking incredible. Because both guys like to talk a lot of shit, I'm kind of bummed out. I'm kind of disappointed that's not going to happen. I thought after last week when we had Darren on, or the week before when it was, I thought there was a possibility of the UFC jumping on that one, but seems like Sean doesn't want to go backwards. All right, let's just take a quick second to thank our newest sponsor, which is Chalk, and that is chok.com. Now, it's been a while since we've had an all-natural supplement here, believe you me, but it's not for lack of interest. We have tried a bunch this year, but nothing have really, passed my stamp of approval, if you will. Now, the Chalk Nation, they see themselves as herbalists. That is herbalists. I don't know why Americans say herbalists, but I like to say herbalists because there is a H there. Natural healthcare practitioners, bioharmonizers and health conscious creators with a passion for bringing out the best in their partners. The supplement industry is filled with weak, trashy and dirty supplements. Exactly. That's why a lot of guys, they fail those USADA tests. And the guys at Chalk are proud to stand above the rest in clean and healthy products. Chalk uses full disclosure labeling. They tell you the exact amount of each ingredient and never use proprietary blends. No label fluffing or underdosing. All ingredients are measured to exact clinical research.
Yeah, Mike, Chalk Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone available right now. Their main ingredient, purified Shilajit, is a powerful adaptogen from the Himalayan mountains. Shilajit delivers 40 different minerals. However, unlike many other products on the market, Chalk contains exceptionally low levels of heavy metals. Shilajit has helped men restore and maintain their vitality for over 500 years. It supports healthy hormone systems, promotes endurance, and enhances healthy inflammation response.
And Hold on, I'm going to interrupt there. The Choc Daily system is just two pills, and it enhances everything from the basics like gut health and the important stuff and maintaining the same testosterone levels that you felt in your 20s. But as I say, two pills. This stuff comes from the top of the Himalayan mountains. You know what I'm saying? People got to go out there. They got to risk their lives to bring back the Shilajit for you. They got to bring it down. They got to grind it down into fine powder. They got to put it into the tubs and send it to your house. And all you got to do is wake up in the morning and take the Shilajit. Your fucking testosterone is boosted. Everything feels great. There is over 40 vitamins and minerals in there. Okay? No scaling the mountains. No almost dying at the top of fucking, what's it called?
The Himalayas.
No, the highest mountain in the world.
Everest?
Mount Everest. We are not scaling Mount Everest, baby boys. Oh, no, 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 no. All you're doing is opening a fucking bottle. All you got to do is go to choc.com, check out the entire line of products. They have a great and natural products to use. And also they promote women's health as well. And the holiday season is the season to give the gift of better health. And check out choc.com, choq.com. And while you're there, be sure to use the promo code Bisping at checkout to get 50% off your entire order. They want you to start off the new year with a bang and get all of our listeners out here in the best shape ever for the new year. That is choc.com, choq.com, choq.com. Use a promo code Bisping and better yourself this winter with Choc. All right, where were we? All right, and you know, actually, interestingly enough, talking of UFC London, March 19th is what it's scheduled for. Hopefully, because, and I hate to talk about the fucking coronavirus, but if you've watched the news, Omicron is the new variant that's creeping back, and oh my God. I just missed it. In England, there was no mask wearing or anything like that, but from today, a lot of that stuff is back. All the restrictions, all the mask wearing, all the nonsense, all the fucking problems. It's, oh God. I mean, listen, you know, I don't want anyone to die or anything like that, but I was hoping that we're going to start to get some kind of normalcy back. And I was actually hoping to go to fucking London in March and commentate a UFC event for the first time in what feels like an absolute lifetime. And I was hoping to see Paddy Pimblett on there because there is rumors going around. Harrington, spill the beans.
So according to Middle Easy's Sunday Rumor Mill, which is right way more often than I'd like to admit, they're saying that Paddy Pimblett's next fight is going to be against either Jared Gordon or Jalen Turner.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Turner's a tough fight. Jalen Turner is a really tough fight. I mean, I can't wait to see Paddy back in there. When did he fight? It was about 2 months ago. It was when Darren Till fought last. I don't know when that was. About 3 months ago. So from then till next March, it's kind of a long layoff. Probably suits Paddy because if the rumors are to be believed, he's like 220 pounds right now, which I refuse to believe. But listen, if you look at him, the guy's put some weight on. No, he has. He's put weight on. 220? 220, no way. No way. You don't balloon up from 145 to 220. What is that? That is 75 pounds.
Well, I was going to ask because weren't you hanging out with him like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. And he was porky. He was
about 180.
It looked like he'd been on my diet. You know what I mean? The last couple of weeks in England, he looked like he'd been on that. But
the all base diet.
Yeah. Oh my God. Look at the face on the left. I mean, geez Louise.
More like Paddy the Fatty. Am I right?
Paddy the Fatty. Yeah. Speaking of 185, Conor McGregor as well. He was putting pictures out this week. 185, 84 kilos. All muscle, not exactly as ripped as the picture on the other side of the picture that I saw, but still, Paddy the Batty.
About ripped as a guy who hasn't been able to run for the last 6 months can be.
Yeah, exactly. But still, looking like a fucking tank, so he is. Paddy Pimblett, okay. Jared Gordon, I mean, he favors the grappling side of things. You know what I mean? And Paddy, we haven't seen it really in the UFC yet, but that's kind of his bread and butter. He's very, very good at jiu-jitsu. I'm assuming, I don't know about his wrestling. I know the jiu-jitsu side of things really good. Paddy's got like exciting flying triangles and flying arm bars, really, really solid ground game. So that'd be interesting. Jalen Turner, completely different opponent. I think he's 6'3", on a three-fight win streak, finished all of his opponents. And let me tell you, Jalen Turner can strike like a motherfucker. So very, very different opponents. Interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, the Jared Gordon thing, you know, I mean, this is a guy who's been with the company for quite some time, you know, joined up in 2017. No contender series, started right on the main path. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins in the UFC. What's interesting to me, all of his wins are by decision, all of his losses by KO or TKO. So somebody like Patty, who we saw in the Luigi Valarama fight, is willing to just, you know, bite
down
his belt.
Hold on.
Did I get it wrong?
Which fight?
Is it not Luigi Valarama? It's how okay. wrong am I?
Luigi Vendramini.
Okay.
It started with the correct letter. We'll leave it at that. Yeah, yeah. I think I'm getting it right. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. Luigi Vendramini. Hey, listen, Paddy's excited. Paddy's got a great life going on outside the UFC, from what I'm led to believe. He's absolutely killing it with Barstool Sports. Obviously, can't believe everything you read in the media. But I heard he signed like a $1 million deal or something crazy like that with Barstool Sports. So well done to him. Jalen Turner, that's who I say. I would love to see that fight. But if Luigi can catch him, I'm sure Jalen can. Jalen was one of my sparring partners for when I fought Luke Rockhold. He was my main sparring partner for when I fought Anderson Silva, believe it or not, as well. You know, not in terms of power, but just in terms of style, flair, size, reach. Obviously, he's 6'3". He's a big guy for that weight class. Tough fight. Both of those guys will be for Paddy. But hey, you're in the UFC. That's it. You know, there's no easy path. You know, certainly now in this day and age, everyone's well-rounded. Everyone's got skills. And, you know, Paddy is oozing confidence, and rightly so. And that's how you get a fan base, you know. But he's going to have to go out there and fight some of the best people in the world. And I can't wait to see it, because his last one was fucking amazing. All right, we're going to talk about this. Triad Combat. We saved it for the end of the show for a good reason. Did you see this, Harrington? I did not see it. I saw the headlines. I was in London. I did see Frank Mir in what I can only describe as the truest display of being out on your feet. That was the main event, right?
Yes, that was the main event versus Kublaev.
Kublaev.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I'm not surprised. Fair play to Frank Mir. I mean, Frank Mir is one of the toughest motherfuckers on this planet. I mean, amazing jiu-jitsu. Right? Former UFC heavyweight champion, been around the company forever. I mean, people talk about being old school. You know, he fought Ian Freeman at UFC 38. Obviously had a few fights before that. So I don't know, early 30s. If you look at his Wikipedia, it'll be on there. You know, I don't know when he left the company, but it wasn't that long ago, a few years ago. So, and having the jiu-jitsu that he has, and now going into a boxing fight in a fucking triangle against a guy that I think has a record of 28-2. And the only two people to beat him in boxing are Vladimir Klitschko and Anthony Joshua. Yeah, that was always a tough fight. That was always a tough call. You know, but for Frank Mir, oh, here it is. Let's take a look. 1, 2. Oh, look at that. Ooh. I mean, for the audio-only listeners, Frank Mir is stumbling about here. And he clearly is very, very dazed and confused. There was an uppercut that came from Kubrat there that just missed. And I'm glad for Frank that it did. Because Frank, one of the smartest guys that you'll talk to when we had him on the show, very, very analytical, knows the sport, very smart guy. But knockouts like that will take away some of your IQ for sure. So commiserations to Frank. God bless him, trying to go in there and try something different. And that certainly is as different as it can fucking be. But yeah, what else was on the card?
First and foremost, I just want to point out Dan Mergliotta actually got shit online for that stoppage.
Why?
They were like, I don't know. Like, he had to come out and defend him and be like, look, I know what I'm looking at when a guy is out on his feet. They were saying, you know.
Were they giving him shit for stopping it early or for stopping it late?
I believe they were giving him shit for stopping it early. I will double check that though.
There's no way in the world that was an early stoppage. Frank got caught there. He was out on his feet. It's kind of like, who was it? Edson Barboza versus Shane Burgos. Remember that fight when Shane Burgos got hit with a shot and he was trying to stay on his feet and he was backing up and he was like, the brain is saying to go to sleep. But his inner will was like, no, fight, fight, fight. And he backed up against the fence and then eventually fell over. In that fight there, it looked to me like Frank Mir was done, but the will, he was like, no, I'm staying up. I'm a proud guy. I'm going to stay on my feet. But he was fucking all over the place. And couldn't, hands down by his waist, wobbling around, couldn't stand up. There's no way that that could ever be counted as an early stoppage. Frank Mir didn't complain. I wouldn't have thought so, looking at that. Didn't look like Frank could string a sentence together, bless him, let alone complain to the referee. No, that was a solid stoppage.
Yeah, people were giving him shit about it. I think it was especially just the wait time that he had with Mir dazed in the corner. And he said he was just waiting for Pavlev to make the move to Mir so that he could step in and stop it. But as long as both men were like at neutral ground, he was going to give Frank as much time as he could to recover, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike Perry got back to winning ways, didn't he?
Yeah, Mike Perry won a split decision. It seemed like he was as shocked as anybody in the room when he got his hand raised in the decision there. But, I mean, God bless him. The guy got knocked down in the fourth round, and he just kept fighting.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when you see that, when even the fighter's surprised. I mean, why? Was it clearly... You know, was it clearly a victory for the other guy? As I say, I didn't see it.
No, I'll be honest with you. I kept trying to check in and see what was going on with this triad thing. And anytime I brought it up on the stream I was using, Metallica was playing. And I was like, this is not what I signed up for. This is, you know, like it's tough as a fan of combat sports to try to tune into something while you're doing other stuff with your day and just continuing to see a rock concert. But yeah, from what I did see, Mike Perry did get knocked down in, I believe it was the fourth round, but Mike Perry was just able to use his aggression, you know, to beat a more accurate and more technical boxer, right? He just kept coming at him where the other guy, you know, was not willing to return fire at as much of a rate as Mike Perry.
Yeah, well, good for Mike Perry. Nice to see him earning a few dollars. You know what I mean? Nice to see him getting a win. And regardless, go on, Brian, you had a big smile on your face there.
I have Mike Perry's reaction to him winning.
Oh, please, I'd love to see it. Because Mike Perry's the gift that keeps on giving.
Split decision. Representing team MMA.
Hey, God bless. I mean, you can see the shock on his face, but you gotta celebrate. Fuck it, why not? Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, the judges gave it to me. I didn't think I'd won it, but so what? You know what I mean? Hey, that's awesome. I like that, and I'm glad you showed me that. Sorry, I'm really not in a good way here today. I am tired. I'm jet lagged. I'm like a zombie. I was boiling hot before, as we know. We had to stop down so I could turn the fan on and the AC. Now the AC is pumping. It's like the fucking Arctic in here. The fan's on full whack. I'm like, it's bad. I can't wait for Thursday's show. I'll be more put together. I am fucking dazed, confused, jet lagged. I'm hearing Tweety birds. Today's it's a tough one, but I'm glad you showed that because it mentioned representing team MMA, right? And that was the whole thing, wasn't it? Team boxing versus team MMA. And whenever I looked at social media over the weekend, I saw Shannon the Cannon Briggs and Quinton Rampage Jackson getting into it, going back and forth. I thought they were fighting at the weekend, so I was kind of interested to know the results of that, you know, because I saw them together. Quinton's a big guy, but Shannon Briggs was fucking gigantic compared to him. But yeah, when is that fight happening? Do you know?
No, I think it's the next event that that Triller is doing, which is why they were there, you know, promoting that. I will look up the exact date for it, but I know they were doing a bunch of press for it over the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, to the point where, like, I mean, I don't know if this is, like, Rampage just getting a check from them, but he was saying, like, you know, oh, UFC and Bellator better watch out for this triad combat thing. It's here to stay.
I mean, listen, of course, you know... Rampage is trying to be a company man there, and God bless him. He's in bed with this Triller people now, obviously, because he's there. He's supporting them. He was on the weigh-ins, so he's saying what he's gonna say to keep Triller happy, you know. So whatever. Good for him. I hope he makes tons of money. Who was it? Yeah, he said, oh, yeah, UFC should be worried. I'm sure Dana's really concerned. I'm sure fucking seeing Frank Mir and Kubrat Pulev fighting a triangle is really what's fucking worrying the company. I'm sure Endeavor are like, wow, why didn't we spend billions on this? Why didn't we spend billions on a triangle and get Mike Perry? Who did Mike Perry fight?
Couldn't tell you.
Exactly. I'm sure they're fucking concerned. Exactly. Anyway. Let's have a look. We've got one more thing to finish off with.
This is super interesting. Just real quick before we get off of this, I'm looking on Frank Mir's Wikipedia, right?
Go on.
And it's listing his professional boxing record, right? It's got his first fight, which was in a square ring. And it also has this one, which is fought under a different rule set, kind of, in a triangle ring.
I'm texting my daughter. Turn the fan off. Come and turn this fan off. ASAP, please turn the fan off, because I don't want to disconnect from the podcast. That's how committed I am. Ellie! She is ignoring my messages. Go on. Tell me about Frank Mir's first ever professional fight.
No, it's his second ever professional boxing fight. It's just interesting to me that they're counting this triangle thing as a professional boxing match.
No, no.
It seems that way.
There's no, just turn the fan off, sweetheart, would you? It's freezing in here. And I'm in the middle of a podcast. I want it to be professional. No, not the lights. The fan. There we go. Thank you, sweetheart. There we go. Sorry about that, Brian and everybody listening. There's no way that was a sanctioned bout.
I'm a dummy.
What was the commission? There's just no way that was a sanctioned boxing professional bout.
So I just looked at Pavlov's record, and it does not include the Frank Mir win on there. So I don't think so.
All right. Well, whatever. Okay. Listen, this show's been all over the place. Come Thursday, it's going to be better, because you know why? I'm all over the place. I am tired. I'm jet lagged. I'm like a zombie. I woke up this morning and I felt okay. I got dressed. I put all my stuff on to go for a run, right? After about 30 minutes, I was like, what am I thinking? There's just no way I'm going for a run. And then Ellie, because on the way back, you know that place by my house that does a really good burritos and tacos and everything?
Oh,
we
yeah.
landed, yeah, Tempo, Urban
Kitchen. Yeah, the pork belly taco.
There you go. But I like the surf and turf. My mouth is watering. I'm talking about it. On the way back from the airport, I called up. We got a massive takeout order. We landed here last night. We're all fucking exhausted. We're all like zombies. We stuffed ourselves. We went to bed. This morning, there was still quite a lot of tacos and burritos. As I say, I got out of bed. I'm like, I'm doing a no sugar diet. I'm getting on it. I got out of bed. I brushed my teeth. I washed my face. I put my shorts on, a t-shirt. I'm going for a run. Ellie started heating up a burrito in the oven. I'm like, Ooh, screw it. She's off. Warm me up a burrito still. Anyway, the point I'm making is come Thursday, I'm going to be back with it, because I can't even think straight right now. Questions, Brian, to finish off the show. What do we have, my friend?
All right. So we got a question here from a Mr. Mark O'Regan, who's going to be asking about some sort of future medical procedures.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Michael, rest of the team, what's up? Question for Michael. Let's say the doctors had a revolutionary way to bring your sight back, but the downside is that you have to swap bodies with Harrington, and then you can swap back. But during that year, you cannot tell anyone the deal. You have to be Harrington. Harrington is also you for the year.
Oh,
it's your house, your wife. He has to do commentary. What do? Do you continue as you are, or do you sacrifice a year of your life, a year of being Harrington, and get your sight back?
Well, thank you for the question, and how dare you? How dare you suggest that that Harrington gets to lay with Rebecca for a year? I thought he was going to say this, and what was his name, by the way, Brian?
Mark.
Mark, thank you for the question, Mark. We appreciate you, buddy. I got sent this text yesterday from one of the UFC's directors. Shout out, JJ. First 3D printed prosthetic eye installed in a patient's socket. Apparently, yeah, there it is.
Wow.
Yeah, so apparently they're bringing the vision, the gift of vision back to people with with science. I thought it was going to be that. But no, this is a hypothetical situation. So I have to become Harrington for a year, but I get two eyes, whereas you get to be me, you get to live my life. I don't know. I kind of like my life. I've kind of adjusted to having one eye. I was able to win the world championship. You know, I'm doing good things. Everything's okay. I mean, if I had two eyes, I'd be able to fight again. However, if I was in Harrington's body with two eyes, I mean, who did you box recently? Who did you go up against?
Dylan Negri.
Right. Well, that would be the height of my competition. Do you know what I mean? Dylan Danis would be able to beat the shit out of me. So thank you.
All right. That's hurtful.
Apologize. But what would you say, Harrington?
Dude, I mean, obviously I would do it, right? But here's the problem. I would destroy your life so badly in the first like 3 months of that year, right? And then try to get it back for like 9 months. And then by the end of it, you're going to have your body back. Your life's going to be in ruins, and you're going to spend the rest of your time on this earth hunting me.
Listen, there's a possibility right now that you're in better shape than I am after my week in England. You know, well, my 9 days or whatever it was. You know, there is a possibility that
there is not.
there's a little bit, but I'm going on a weight loss journey, brother. I will not have people Tweety Birds in my head come Thursday's show. That's a fact. But yeah, you would destroy my life. But yeah, thank you for the question, my friend. Do we have one more, please, Brian?
Yeah, we have a question from a Mr. Paul Weidman, no relation. Oh, shit.
All right, Paul. What we got?
Oh, hold on. Before we play this, can I just say, if you're interested and want to shoot us a question, head on over to bympod@gmail.com. Send us over your video question, or music, whatever thing you want to add into this show. We play them towards the end at least once a week. And if you like this show, watching on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you find it, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you're getting every single podcast. And then if you are on YouTube, hit that like button and that notification bell so you know whenever a new episode comes out. If you love the episode and you want to gash more than the last 20 or 30 that are available on YouTube, Spotify, wherever, head on over to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use promo code BYM, get yourself a 7-day free trial, and check out over 300 episodes of this show you can't find anywhere else.
Yes.
On now, to the question.
Quick disclaimer, don't send us your mixtape.
Oh, okay.
What up, Believe You Me podcast? So we know at the Apex, we've seen the fighters talking to the commentators during the fight quite a few times, mainly because it's such a small establishment and there aren't as many people there. Now, my question is when the commentators are talking, are they affecting the judges as well? An example would be Daniel Cormier talking about the fight being up 2-0, as example here. All right, so I had my video saved. Go to my files. I don't know where the hell it went. Anyways, Cormier was saying something about one of the fighters being up 2-0. So, a question is...
This is the most confusing video question I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to go back to my day job. I'm not going to stay in this video business. But thanks for the question.
Wow. Interesting.
You gave us the question. Why are you thanking us for it?
Yeah. He did. And I thought he was going to cut. I thought he was doing like a little video, a bit of editing there. He's going to cut to DC.
It seemed like he tried and then just lost his video and just came back and was like, I'm sorry. I'm not good at video editing.
Hey, fair play. That's like me before fucking I hired Brantendo. Yeah, trying to do it all myself. I was like, oh my God. All right. The question is, do we think that us talking about the fight and, for example, saying that perhaps this guy's up 2-1, because, of course, we're giving our opinion to the viewing public, does that influence the judges? Interesting question, actually, because in the early days of the Apex, you really could hear a pin drop. It was so quiet, and that was part of the unique attraction to it. You know, and it was so different. You could hear the corners and all the rest of it. And certainly, if you could hear the corners and if you could hear that proverbial pin drop, you could hear me, you could hear DC, you could hear us all talking and giving our opinions. So there is a potential for that. There is a potential. However, if the judge had any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Apprehension?
If the judge had any kind of fucking, like, if the judge was good at his job and had his own opinion, right, and he had a strong mind, right?
Confidence
in his pick, confidence in his opinion. If he knew the sport and he was breaking it down, then he should ignore us anyway, you know? But I guess we are all human beings, you know what I mean? And if you are torn between, you know, oh, I'm not sure, it was close, this guy, that guy in DC arguing the takedown, and I'm like, well, no, he got back to his feet, you know, and he hears that. Hey, listen, judges are human beings. I don't know. That's actually a really interesting question. The judges are kind of far from us. There's three judges. We're here. There's one judge there, and one judge on the other side. But still, I would assume in the early days, now I feel that that's eradicated. There's a bit of a crowd. There's more atmosphere. It is louder. But yeah, that is something that I never contemplated that before.
Well, I mean, we've seen it with fighters like directly addressing, you know, that Cormier was helping them with like some wrestling, or if you remember when Dan Hooker kicked Dustin Poirier, and Poirier specifically said, listen to Bisping, you know, these guys could 100% hear every word that you were saying. So it would stand to reason. Like, I thought he was going to ask about like whether or not it affected the fighters, and I was going to say we've seen it, but the judges, I've never thought about that before. I mean, certainly DC saying, you know, I've got this guy up 2-0, that doesn't matter, because they've already given their scores at the end of every round.
Yep.
But that, if
go on
in the middle of a round, if it's like DC being like, oh man, I don't know how you could judge this for the other guy in what is ostensibly a close round, you know, that could certainly, I could see that affecting a judge.
Yeah. I mean, basically it's the word escapes me right now. As I said, today's a tough day for me, but we had to get the show out and I'm doing, do not feel good. But basically, if the judge is any good at his fucking job, right, he's going to have his own opinion. And he's going to form that opinion based upon his own knowledge, his own experiences, and his own knowledge of the sport. You know, and granted, we are experts. That's why we're commentating the fights. We've been in there, you know, many, many times. You know, so maybe that could sway it, you know. But it's interesting. Thank you for the question. Thank you very much. Interesting talking point.
Could it be a good thing?
Maybe. Maybe not, because we get things wrong. We're humans as well. We're not perfect. You know, sometimes judges make crazy, crazy calls, but I'm not saying that I've never made a mistake in my life either. You know, sometimes you watch a fight, and it is weird. You watch a fight sometimes, and then you watch it again, and it's like watching two different fights. Like when George St. Pierre fought Johnny Hendricks, I was there ringside, and I could have sworn that Johnny Hendricks deserved to become the champion that night. But then when I watched it again, because we broke it down for UFC tonight, when I watched it again, I scored it for George St. Pierre. But I guess that's different because we're watching it from the crowd, right? You're talking to your friend, you're having a beer, you're like, wow, you see that? You miss some of the fine intricacies. You know what I'm saying? So when I watched it on TV, glued to it with an analytical mind, kind of watching it from a judge's perspective, I scored it for George St. Pierre. So, yeah, interesting. Still, anyway, that's the show. I'm done. I'm starving. My mouth is watering. Seriously, my mouth is watering. My stomach is hurting. I have birds tweeting in my forehead. I have a headache. I'm very hydrated. I'm very jet-lagged. And we'll be back on Thursday. You're not going to believe the show that we have on Thursday. We're going to have a guest. I'm going to be cooking with gas. I'm going to be on full form. You're going to have light on your face as well. It's going to be incredible. But until then, thank you for watching. Thank you for sticking with us. And we'll see you on Thursday. Harrington and Brian, well done. See you Thursday. Take care.